You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, it's an off day. What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about Brandon Ingram, and it looks like his season might be done, although, like I said a second ago, you know, at this rate, we're going to record this. The Lakers are going to say he's healthy to play tonight again in the Lakers' Friday game, but I think even if he does play, like, in any of these last four games, we've kind of seen what we're going to see from Ingram, and I think it's worth kind of discussing maybe the Lakers' most complicated player this year, I think, at least from like an evaluation and future perspective. Because a lot of these guys, like Lonzo, it's very clear, you know, he's good at everything but shooting, pretty much. And like Kuzma, unexpected surprise. Thomas Bryant, promising young guy. Josh Hart, going to probably be a really solid role player for the team. I think Ingram is the guy that people, I think nationally, and I think even Lakers fans, are probably the most split. Well, maybe Lonzo. Lonzo's pretty polarizing. But I think Ingram's right there. He's kind of a guy that's fallen through the cracks a little bit because of how much discussion there is about all the shiny new toys. And I think he's made a lot of positive steps this year, but I think it's complicated, and I think we should get into that.
And we will. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at Beefsticks. Let's go ahead.
Oh, man.
I like that last point, and I think that's where we should kind of start, is to try to contextualize Ingram's relationship with the fan base, the national narrative about the guy. I mean, Lonzo comes in, and he's going to generate and garners all of the headlines because of LeVar, because he is Lonzo, because Magic told him that he'd be disappointed if he didn't have a number retired up there next to his.
And told him to not break all of his records and all this stuff. And, like, he's spoken positively about Ingram, too.
Yeah, but not quite the same way.
Yeah, it's the shiny new toy thing,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
because, I mean, because Lonzo, Kuzma, Hart all have that, and Ingram doesn't anymore.
It's like when you've had a puppy for a year, and then you get the puppy a friend, and then the new friend gets all the attention because he keeps peeing in the house. Like, that's kind of the way that's kind of the relationship. The old puppy is Ingram in this analogy. And he essentially doesn't get enough or as much attention because he doesn't pee in the house, right? Because his dad doesn't pee in the house for him.
That got weird. His dad doesn't come over and pee all over your house and then leave.
But Ingram, though, like, I think part of it, too, like, I think it – part of why I think Ingram kind of falls through the cracks is because he's really skinny, and the other thing
just slips right through there.
And the other thing too, though, is that, like, you kind of have to really watch Ingram to see parts of his game, right? Like, when Lonzo throws an outlet pass, anybody watching can say, "Holy crap, that was a really good pass!" Right? When Kyle Kuzma makes a sweeping right hook. Everybody's going to jump to, "Holy crap, we haven't seen that shot since forever."
I wonder if he hates Kareem because of those comparisons.
when Josh Hart, you know, comes out of nowhere and plays really good post defense and just does the little things that everybody seems to pick up as the ways that a team can win, like, you're going to see that. Same with Julius Randle. Like, those guys tend to pop off of the screen a little bit more than Brandon Ingram did. And as such, I think his game goes unrecognized for all the things that he did. Like, 16 points a game isn't going to jump off the screen at you, right? But he's like,
but
the
to be fair, he was the Lakers' leading scorer until literally today. Kyle Kuzma finally passed him again, and like that's meaningful,
right? And then, you know, 5 rebounds a game isn't going to jump off the screen at anybody, right? 4 assists per game isn't going to jump off the screen at anybody. But if you actually contextualize those numbers and you try to find other guys who have done that in year two at age 20, the list is pretty short. There aren't very many guys who've been able to do that. And I think
the other context is that literally almost every single one of his averages, he has improved from this season to last season. He's scoring more points. He's shooting a higher percentage from the field and from three, shooting better at free throws, although still not great, 68.1%, mm-hmm. getting more rebounds, getting more assists. He's also getting more turnovers, to be fair, more steals, more blocks.
He's attempting more free throws per game. Like, that's important. Yeah.
And he has he's raised his true shooting percentage. He's raised his net rating, his assist percentage, his assist ratio, his assist to turnover ratio is better. The Lakers are playing at a faster pace with him on the floor this season. And he's done all of that while raising his usage rate about almost 6%. And so to get that much more efficient while he is
carrying a larger load
is, it's impressive, but I think there's also context there of it would also have been hard for him to be as bad.
Right. That was the next point I was going to make. And I think it's also kind of working against him in terms of how much attention he garners is a lot of people were just kind of out on him.
And last year there were moments like we always talk about down the stretch of the season last year. He got really good at driving and using his length to finish in the lane. Mm-hmm. And he's only improved that this season, I would say. Mm-hmm. And to become a better shooter to boot, a better passer, like you're seeing these natural steps forward that you want to see from a young wing. But then there's also the context of the Lakers are better. They've been better by the numbers this year when Ingram sits than when he plays. And some of that is, I think, like it doesn't quite reflect how bad they would be if he just didn't ever play at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like the bench guys going against other bench guys are kind of skewing those numbers a little bit. But like, I think it's like I said, it's a complicated season, but I think it's pretty easy to see the improvement as well.
We're going to keep going here. I have another thing, another reason why I think he doesn't get talked about quite as much, especially as the season kind of comes to a close, and we'll do that here in a bit. So the other reason where I think, you know, especially now, right? Because like right now, everybody's just kind of, all right, the Lakers have four games left. Let's just get these done and head into the postseason and head into the offseason and head into the draft and free agency and everything that's about to come. But a lot of basketball and sports analysis is basically, what have you done for me lately, right? And look, like we just talked about, his statistical output and production this year is almost indisputable. He was really legitimately good. But missing 20 games is also, or 20 more games than he played or playing. To this point, he's played 59 games. Last year, he played 79 total. Right. And if he doesn't play another game this year, playing in 20 fewer games than he played last year is kind of tough to overlook. Now, a groin injury where Justice Winslow basically crashes into him and knees him really, really hard in the nether region, that's unavoidable. There's nothing that can be done there. And as you've talked about a few times, a torn groin is not just like the dog. I would say the dog agrees. Torn groins suck.
Yes, and I am dog sitting right now, and this dog is not used to being in my apartment where people walk by through the hallways. So we'll see how that goes the rest of the time that we record. I'm going to try and be quick on the mute button.
But it's tough. It's much like the rest of the season. I actually think Ingram's season does a really good job of kind of summarizing this entire Lakers campaign, right? It was really promising. They've made indisputable strides forward, and yet it's kind of ending on a sour note, right? Like that, outside of beating San Antonio and sweeping them, they had lost 8 of their last 10 before that game. Now 8 of their last 11, and they're heading into this this summer with kind of a down note, just like Ingram was playing really, really, really good basketball, especially when he was moved to the point guard, and then he got hurt. And that's kind of, unfortunately, that's going to, I think, drive a lot of the analysis about him, at least early on in the offseason. Then people kind of realize, well, actually, no, he was really good before he got hurt.
And I think that's also like Luke Walton today during his live stream thing said that he felt like he agrees with you. He felt like Brandon Ingram was taking the next steps forward towards being like an all-star type player before he got hurt. And I think like the other thing why I don't totally buy into the numbers of the Lakers being better with him off the floor than on is because that's not like factoring in how bad they'd be if he just didn't play at all. Like some of those numbers are coming without Lonzo and with Lonzo in the game and not Ingram or with other good, like if Ingram just wasn't playing, then the Lakers would be a worse team. And we've seen that they're demonstrably a worse team when Ingram is not able to be in the lineup. Like this 8 of 11 stretch, we've seen they're worse with him off the floor. That time that he missed with the groin injury, we saw that they really missed his playmaking. And just having that guy that could go create something, as you love to talk about with, as we debated so much about with Isaiah Thomas. And I think the way that Ingram creates things is different, but it's valuable in that, and this is not to compare him to Thomas in any way, but it's valuable to have guys that can go and create something and can go and make something happen. And he's one of the few Lakers right now that can go and make something happen.
For himself or anybody else. Like yes. That was a huge improvement. Another huge improvement this year was it was kind of funny that it happened at roughly the same time where Julius Randle was starting to make more plays on the peripheries of his vision and Ingram started doing the same thing. And when they both started figuring that out at the same time, the Lakers became pretty tough to stop. And then the other thing that we haven't even talked about here is his defensive strides forward, which look, when you're
fitting of someone with how long his legs are,
when you're 6'9", a nice height, and can utilize that length and can utilize your athleticism and also, because the other thing that I everybody has said about him is that he's just a basketball nut. He just loves the game and wants to be involved with it at all times. So when you have all of those things going for you, you're going to make an impact defensively. And the Lakers were, I would say, twice as good as they were essentially than they were last year defensively. And I think he played a huge part in that. And in this current era of basketball where you want as many switchy wings as you can possibly find, like it was kind of annoying last night. Kuzma has this great game and somebody on Twitter basically asked, you know, who would you rather have long term, Kuzma or Ingram? And I was just like, well, the Lakers have both. So it's a stupid question. Like, why are we having that conversation? But the Lakers do, in that the Lakers have those guys, both of them, at least we know Kyle Kuzma can go from the three down to the four. We know that Ingram could go from the three and kind of jump a spot and go up to the one if absolutely need be.
Well, he kind of like he facilitates the offense, but I wouldn't call him a one. Like I was looking at the stats by position and PER isn't like a perfect stat by any means. But I did think it was worth noting that like he's far better in terms of that at small forward than he is at shooting guard or power forward, the other two positions that the Lakers have mainly used him at. And like they've said point guard, but it's more like point forward, like he's going to kind of initiate the offense. They're still a true point guard on the floor and that kind of thing, or not a true point, but like a point guard sized player to guard other point guards.
Yeah.
And when he actually has to guard guys that are significantly quicker than him, he's going to struggle a little bit. I think Kuzma did a better job playing out of position than Ingram did, but he is still like, I think as he continues to bulk up and the Lakers are taking that very slow and they're making that like a steady process with him of bulking up because they don't want him to just like add a bunch of like pounds and then like break down because it's like he's not ready to support it yet, which I think is smart. I think as he bulks up, he'll be able to play that power forward position a little bit better and slide up to that when need be.
I also think it's worth pointing out just regarding PER is that it tends to favor like the further down the position chart that you go, it tends to favor those guys more.
Yeah, I mean, but like Lakers, like their win percentage with him at small forward is better. Like their net rating and everything, mm-hmm. like it's all better across the board when he's at small forward.
And it also makes sense, seeing as that's his more natural position.
Yeah, exactly. And so then that's fine. But I think it's just like he might not be when they talked about, you know, they're playing these super big lineups with him at shooting guard. They did that. I don't know if it worked. And so I don't know if it's something that is going to that they're going to say, like, we're just going to continue this.
We're going to come back with a little bit more Brandon Ingram analysis and then also some breaking news from around the league. And we'll do that here in a bit. All right, so the last little bit of analysis that we have to do here with Ingram, we've talked about his game individually, how he fits with the team as it's currently constituted, but the big cloud, or not really a cloud, because a cloud makes it sound negative.
Elephant in the room.
But yeah, the big elephant in the room, or giraffe, depending on how, you know, who you're talking to. But the big chunk or piece of the puzzle that we have to work into here, as I find as many cliches as I can, is how does each and every one of these pieces of the young core, Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, Randall, Hart, all of these guys, how do they all fit with potentially Paul George and or LeBron James, right?
I've gotten this question a lot, I think, on Twitter this year, and it is interesting because, like, on one hand, the Lakers want to recruit these two wings to come and play, and that would seem to conflict with the long-term goal of Ingram being part of the core, but I don't think that it does. And so I think Ingram, even if we're talking about, like, he's mostly probably going to be a small forward right now, Paul George can place him too. He's shown that he's more than capable of playing the two. And LeBron, as he gets older, is going to start to play more four. And he's started to get increasingly comfortable with that. And five. Yeah. And he started to get increasingly comfortable with that. And so I think it's pretty easy to picture a lineup with those three guys just switching everything and being a nightmare. Plus, Lonzo gives them a ton of length at the point. Mm-hmm. And then whatever center you want to throw in there, the Lakers would instantly be. Yeah, I guess Randall or, you know, like it. Or Lopez, or like some, it might be Thomas Bryant, or it might be like, you know, like some just kind of random veteran center that they signed up to a stopgap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nerlens Noel. Get the Rich Paul gang together in Los Angeles. But I think you can see him fitting in there, but it does kind of raise the question, do you think Ingram starts on this team next year? Like, if you had to say gut feeling, do you think he starts?
If they get one superstar, yes. If they get two, no. And look, the big thing to me is starting sounds cooler than it is actually.
It matters to players. They say it doesn't matter, but it matters.
Well, sure. No, I think it matters to the players individually and in terms of ego and stuff like that. Though I think with Ingram, I have never seen anything close to personality, let alone ego.
I think he's a guy that internalizes things. I think he'd accept it. I don't think he'd be a problem, but I think it would be an ego hit for him, and he'd be trying to prove that he deserves to be in that starting lineup. Although at the same time, it's hard to get too mad about being benched for Paul George and LeBron James.
Yeah. And think of the bench that they could possibly have with Kuzma and with Ingram and with probably Randall, right? If they get like a stopgap center who just starts, and then those guys just come in and just wreak havoc on whichever team that they're playing. But I think that the thing, so like I said, if it's just Paul George, you go into a lineup you go into next season with the lineup of Lonzo, Paul George, Ingram, Randall if he sticks around, and a center, and then by extension, or the next step of that is the lineup that they use most. Or the lineup that I would look forward to most is Lonzo, Paul George, Ingram, Kuzma, and whichever center. In this case, I'd prefer it be Randall, but that's just how that might play out. And look,
I think if they get both of those guys, I'd say it's unlikely Randall's back. I think it's just going to be tough.
Yeah, mathematically.
Although Eric Pincus did bring up the interesting kind of domino effect of Randall has the same agent as Paul George, so re-signing Randall theoretically could be the key to getting Paul George, and getting Paul George could be the key to getting LeBron. So, like, is there a way that the Lakers gymnastically can make that work? I mean, we'll see. Interesting way to look at it, I think.
You just mentioned gymnastics, and I pulled a hammy as you were talking about it.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of an update that's going on across
speaking of injuries.
Yeah, in the Eastern Conference, though, we just find out that Kyrie Irving is going to be out for the rest of the season, postseason and regular. And we're going to throw it to a bit of an update, a little sound clip here from our friends over at Locked On Celtics.
We are your experts on breaking local news here at the Locked On Network. We will always have the updates from the local experts.
Yeah, although in this case, on this show, Harrison serves as the expert, and I serve as the guy who yells loud things into the wind. We're going to throw to that, And then when we come back, we'll talk about how that might impact this whole conversation regarding LeBron James, because I do think it does tie back into this.
John Corrales here from Locked On Celtics to talk about the breaking Kyrie Irving injury news. He is going to have surgery on his left knee to remove screws that were implanted in 2015 when he fractured his patella. Now, you might remember a few weeks ago, he had surgery on that same knee to remove a supporting wire that was also part of that same injury. Now what they have found is an infection at the site of the screws. So they're going back in. They're going to take the screws out. They're going to clear up the infection. The Celtics say his knee is structurally sound, but it's going to take 4 to 5 months for everything to recover and for him to get back to playing basketball. The Celtics' focus has always been on next season, especially after the Gordon Hayward injury. But now they definitely will not have Kyrie Irving back for the playoffs. After the initial surgery, they had thought maybe he'd return at some point in the first or second round. Now that is out. So the immediate impact for the Boston Celtics is Terry Rozier is probably going to move into the starting point guard role, a role that he has served well for the Celtics so far in Kyrie's absence and in Marcus Smart's absence. They hope to get Marcus Smart back at some point in the first round. He's had that thumb surgery to repair a torn tendon, so hopefully for the Celtics that he comes back, but immediately they will not have Kyrie Irving for this playoff run. It's going to be tough getting out of the first round for the Celtics. If they do and they get to a second round, that's going to be especially difficult. So I'm sure teams are going to start lining up hoping to play the Celtics in that second round. That specifically would be Cleveland. Long term, they say the knee is structurally sound and they hope to start next season with a healthy Gordon Hayward and a healthy Kyrie Irving. And the Celtics' priority has always been that. So we'll see how that goes, but right now there's no further damage. It's not another injury. It's not a separate thing. It's all part of the same thing to clear up what they had done to fix his knee in 2015. And this should remove every apparatus that was in there. And once that's out and healed and the infection is gone, Kyrie Irving should be good to go. We'll see. That's the breaking news. I'm John Corrales from Locked On Celtics.
All right, so you have that. That's from John Corrales of Locked On Celtics. And look,
Anthony's mortal enemy, John Corrales.
Look, he was wrong. He was objectively wrong about Isaiah Thomas.
Well, I'm sure that he changed his mind as soon as they traded Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving.
But so to tie it back into, to tie the Kyrie Irving back to the Lakers, because we are egomaniacs and it's really all about us, right?
It is. It's West Coast, best coast.
Exactly. Kyrie not being available and Gordon Hayward not being available and having to rely on Al Horford in the playoffs is going to make it kind of tough for the Boston Celtics to do anything in the shape of stopping LeBron James from getting to the finals. And if you're hoping that the Toronto Raptors turn things around in the playoffs and somehow get in the way of LeBron with OG Anunoby and CJ Miles as
Pascal
the guys.
Siakam.
Yeah, like if those are the guys that they are hoping.
Uh-oh. Celtics just signed Jonathan Gibson for the remainder of the season. Ooh. So,
all right, that changes everything. but if those are the Celtics were seen as the team that might challenge the Cavs, they appear not to be able to do that now.
Nope.
The Raptors were then seen as the team after the Celtics looked like they weren't going to be able to because people get bored really easily with analysis.
LeBron is the T-Rex coming in to like wreck their day at the end of Jurassic Park. He just like busts through the wall and scares off the Raptors.
Or I was going to say a meteor.
Yeah, that too. I guess that's the natural analogy. The Raptors are the Raptors. LeBron is the meteor.
Yeah. And so, it's going to be tough to take LeBron away from an actual title contender, a team that will play in the finals this year, in my opinion, and tell him, well, you can come here to the Western Conference and try to have a go at it against the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets and potentially next year the Spurs with Kawhi Leonard. That seems like a lot to ask.
So it is a lot to ask, but I do. Somebody brought this. I wish I could credit who it was that originally brought this point up, but I forgot, and so I'm not going to. But I remember I was thinking about this yesterday. And do you think that he would be interested in going to the Western Conference as a way to stop ruining his NBA Finals record? Because at the very least, if you come to the Western Conference and you either knock off the Warriors and then you go to the finals and you win it, or you don't. But then at least your finals record doesn't continue to get worse. And people are like, oh, well, LeBron went 2-8 in the finals and MJ was undefeated. So MJ better. That legacy is something that matters to him. And I don't know that that's going to be a deciding factor in his free agency destination, but it is like an interesting line of thought.
Yeah, I've made that point that basically, is it worse to lose en route to the playoffs or to the finals or in the finals, basically? The way I've always kind of felt about LeBron and the Lakers is this. They have the highest impact on his potential career. It has, I think, the lowest basement and the highest ceiling. If he comes to L.A. and he teams up with a super team out here in L.A. and he doesn't win a ring, then I think, you know, the fans who already favor Kobe over him and the people who are already reluctant to have LeBron in Lakers purple and gold are going to continue to feel that way all the stronger. But if he does come here and he wins a title or, God forbid, even two, then he becomes indisputably the greatest player to have ever played the game of basketball.
Did you say God forbid?
Well, like
Anthony doesn't want the Lakers to win championships, guys. I'm really sorry. He is actually actively praying that LeBron comes here and wins less than two titles. Hater.
Man, I really need
it
to
wouldn't
figure
be,
out.
It wouldn't be our 500th episode if we didn't make fun of, if I didn't like catch you and like twist your words back at you.
For those listening, this is our 400th episode and Harrison is doing this bald. How about that? You guys won. He shaved his head and the next time you see him, he will not have any hair on his head. So congratulations.
What is your favorite? I think we can end on that. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm kind of done talking about LeBron. We're going to talk about that all summer. I think what is your favorite? Maybe we should save this for the 500th episode, but too late. Yeah. What is your favorite like weird thing from this show? Like either like a bit that we just never brought back or like just something random from the show? Because there were like a lot of weird days on this show, I think.
Well, I admitted to which show, which song I lost my virginity last night.
That was very recent.
Maybe there's some recency bias going on there.
Yeah.
In terms of like weird bits that I wish we would have kept around, I don't think we went back to the well for the nihilistic Rob Pelinka quite enough. We got to do more of that, I think.
Okay, I'd be with that. I think I want to get back to doing more Harrison's hot takes. Yeah. I have not had the time to dedicate to, like, I want them to be good when I do them for you guys, and I just haven't had the time to dedicate to make them really good. Mm-hmm. And so I've held off on that a little bit this year. I want to bring that back. One of my favorite random moments, I think, was you continually having animals meowing or barking in the background and you talking to them, but your mic not being powerful enough for anyone else to pick them up. And so multiple people thinking that you were hallucinating ghost pets that was a fun day on Twitter. And I remember there was one show where you sent me an audio file, and it was when early on in my editing career, and I forgot to like bring the outro part back closer to it when I was dropping it in, and so there was 10 minutes of just dead silence because before the outro played, and so that was a funny one.
Let us know if you actually sat there for 10 minutes.
You deserve like a round of applause if you actually did that. But I remember somebody messaged me. This was last year. It was like last fall, and I saw at basketball added me about it, and I was like in class and I was panicking, and I was like, I'm gonna have to change it when I get home, and I had to wait like 3 hours. It was awful.
This is like a smaller, it's not as funny, but when David first approached us about wanting to host Locked On Lakers, both you and I looked at each other like, wait, what? aren't there better options out there?
I remember being confused. I thought, like, he told me that, like, he read Silver Screen and Roll, and I'm like, oh no, you have not listened to our podcast then, and know that that is a very different version of me that you are getting on the air than the one that writes.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that I think I'll always cherish is the iTunes reviews just roasting me to like the kind of stuff that I tell my parents, hey, stay off iTunes.
Yeah, they're like Harrison, please host the solo show.
Yeah, like that tends to give me a hoot.
We haven't done this enough this year, but we need to bring Dr. Jen back on more as well.
Yeah.
Because those are always fun segments when
we might just be a doctor. Just like have her tell the audience what it's like to be married to me.
August content ideas.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it.
We can just have our significant others host a show where they just complain about us and we don't get to listen to it. We just have to post it.
Ooh, that would be a great.
A blind podcast. Show.
Holy crap.
Oh, man. I regret suggesting this already, actually. I don't know if Mia can...
Uh-oh.
This is not going to go well.
So, this just happened right now. Darius sent out a tweet. Darius, at Forum Blue and Gold, sent out a tweet, and it said it's basically a sign of keep out, sensitive area. Like, that's a sign, literally a sign that we have
to do
that.
Yeah, that was a sign that this was a bad idea.
All right. That'll do it for this.
Going to turn my account private.
The 400th. Episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. For those of you who...
And maybe the last one. You never know. You never know what could happen.
Well, it would probably be the last one if we had Mia and Jen host the show roasting us.
I mean, like, this could be the last episode. Record every podcast like it's your last. That's my message to all of you today.
That should be our slogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it'll actually be our last. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody.